All right, let's open our Bibles to continue our teachings on the matter of balance, part of our faith basic series, by reading from the book of Ecclesiastes again, chapter 7. That's the one we have been reading for as a text for the last few meetings. Let me read from verse 15. It said, I have seen everything during my lifetime of utility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. That is, he lives long despite the fact that he's a wicked man. He said in verse 16, do not be excessively righteous, and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die, he said, before your time? Now, my emphasis again is in verse 18, in which he says, it is good that you should grasp one thing, and also not let go of the other. Please, let me read it again. That's what we have been using. That has been the main thing that we are discussing. He said, it is good that you grasp one thing and not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. Please notice that verse 18 very well. You know, we have been on our Faith Basic series. And that's been since the beginning of the year. We have taught many things. Actually, today is the 36th message on faith basics. All right? So, you know, we have been talking quite a lot. And of course, let me just remind us of why again. We must know what is fundamental in Christianity. Are you getting my point? A lot of things that we practice, and you'll see, I will discuss it again today, they are excesses. Now, excesses, once in a while, they work. They are good. But only when you have learned the basics. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very important. You don't start living a life of impulse. Like we discussed that last time. We must know what is normal. Then occasionally things come up that are against that which is normal, and we have to operate that. We have to operate according to that particular exigency at that particular time. But we must know what is normal. We must know what is basic. Okay, and that's what we're talking about: faith basics. Now, when I started talking a few days ago about balance, and I'm trying to explain the issue of balance. All right. And today I want to talk about the matter of zeal. When we said balance, let me just explain this this verse again, verse 18 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. What Solomon was saying, Solomon said, I've seen things under the sun. He was giving some practical tips on how to live life. And this is the application of verse 18. And you know, people may often make this mistake. When they learn something new, they throw away everything that they knew before. Are you getting my point? And I said, Ed Cole said, balance is the key to life. Solomon said, you learn something new, yes, but don't throw away that which is old, all right? You may find out that there are things in it that you should hold on to that will help you, will help keep you in check. You know, I gave an example of when people were, when we began to learn righteousness by faith, as righteousness being by faith, but not by works, yes. For example, at least as a young boy, the dominant thing in Christianity in Nigeria was SU. I can remember the days of SU. All right. That was the main group of people that when you see somebody is born again, you saw them, you had to join SU. There was nobody in the Catholic Church that claimed to be born again. There was nobody in the Anglican Church that claimed to be born again. There was nobody in the denominational churches those days that claimed to be born again. The only born again people in Nigeria were SU people. You getting my point? They still exist till today. You know, Scripture Union still exists till today. But they are not as dominant, all right, in the voice of Christianity in Nigeria as they used to be. Now, it's not because they are irrelevant. Let me just put it in like this. The seed they came to sow has flown into every corner. So they are not the only ones claiming to be born again. Are you getting my point? Now you find people who are born again everywhere. The call to holiness, all right, is not only amongst them. You go, at least in Eastern Nigeria of today, I don't know about the rest of the country, but in Anglican churches in Eastern Nigeria, it's very strong. You go to the Anglican churches in Eastern Nigeria, it's very strong. Very, very strong. In fact, you go to the front of any compound as an Anglican church compound in Nigeria, at least in the East, I've not been to them in the West. There's a sign on how you dress before you enter. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. I talked to a man who was an elder in the Anglican church. He questioned me on the irresponsibility being demonstrated these days by Pentecostal churches in that they no longer preach, be converted and be born again. Do you understand my point? So, I'm just going to bring out an issue. Now, but when the Scripture, you know, brought those things in, all right, they had a particular thing, a set of stuff that followed them. So you found out that when you became reborn, your hairstyle changed. It went from being artificial to being natural. All right? You did not, they not born you rich. May you put attachment for your head. In fact, people used to cast out demons out of attachment. You know that now. They told you if you buy a ring in the market, you can buy a ring that is possessed. That's absolute balderdash, rubbish. Any ring I touch, even once I touch it, the demon just escaped. But you see, people were very serious about things, all right? So they said, look, you mustn't perm your hair, because in, at least in Western Nigeria and in Yoruba language, to perm your hair is the same word as to burn your hair. And literally, they used to burn hair because they used to use stretching combs. Remember stretching combs? Some of you are too young for those things. Stretching combs, they put hot pomade on it and they use it to stretch your hair. So it was called burning of hair. And then there's a scripture that says there is baldness that ends, that results when the head is burnt. So they started quoting it, at least anybody who, you know, your head will become bald. Now, I'm trying to figure out something. Because of all those things, when the new wave of Pentecostalism came in, you know, word of faith, the Archbishop Benson that also arrived with, my God is not a poor God. His agbada alone could make clothes for like 6 people. The embroidery alone was work, all right? That if the tailor used it to make clothes for other people, they would make like for about 5 people. And he would tell you, my God is not a poor God. Now, this is a problem. When people learned that righteousness is not what you look like outside, it is what is inside. So you know what they did? We packaged everything that we knew before and threw it away. So bad that these days, there are Pentecostal pastors that are not born again. And that's not supposed to be a joke. Do you get my point? That's how much we threw those things away. But Solomon said, no, don't do that. Now you have learned the word of faith. You have understood that righteousness is of the heart. But there is something that the holiness movement brought. Are you getting my point? Don't throw that thing away. Take hold of the new one, but don't let go of the other. When you balance both of them, you will see the center point, and you will live like that, and you will prosper. That's what he was saying. So that's why we're bringing out the issue again, balance. That is why, in my own private life, God has helped me extensively. Once you are a real Christian, a true believer, I will hear you first. Hear what you are saying. Digest what you are saying. If it's against the word of God, I'll just reject it there. Are you getting my point? But no matter how much we differ on other things, I keep on saying, you know, when I wrote my book, Grace to Prosper, I put the last segment at the very last segment because of the irresponsibility we have as human beings, and especially Christians. If a man tells you that he doesn't believe, maybe that you must speak in tongues if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you believe he does not know anything else. Because you disagree. It doesn't mean you are right, though. It just means you do what? You disagree. So you believe he does not know anything else. I mean, I was like that too. I mean, I was on campus those days. If anybody said anything against what we believed, I mean, he didn't know anything else. He didn't know anything. He didn't know anything else as we're concerned. But that is not right. There are those who don't agree with you on some points, but I know extensively on other issues. So what do? I listen to everybody. Then as you are talking, I have the Spirit of Christ. I have my Bible. I try my best to get the truth in what you are saying. That was the only way you can strike a balance. I think one of the greatest problems in Christianity of today is denominationalism. One day we sat in a meeting with a Reverend Father, and one of my friends on campus, they made a point, tried to give us some scriptures, and the Reverend Father said, that is Anglican theology. Then somebody explained something, he said, that's Baptist theology. And anything we said, he had a label for it because he's schooled. He's a very, very well-educated person. A Jesuit priest, a white man. Very well educated. So he had a theology, he had a label for everything. Do you get my point? And because he's a Catholic, he has to stick with Catholic theology. There's a book my wife is reading, titled, well, somebody gave it to my wife, I read it also. A title, what's the title of your book again? Rome Sweet Home, yes. How a man who was a Protestant found his way back to Catholicism. So the book is titled Rome Sweet Home. All right? So, as usual, I read the book. You know, that's me. I will take it, I will read it. Then, by the time I finished, I told my wife, this is my judgment. Now, please, don't be angry that I'm giving judgment on it. After I read the book, I said, listen, this man had a problem at the beginning, and he still has that problem. That problem has not been solved. You know the problem? Denominationalism. All right. That is, he being a Baptist or whatever he was, Presbyterian, I can't remember. He assumed that the Catholics were wrong on everything. Then when he found something they were right on, he assumed they were right on everything. And he felt he had to make a choice between being a Protestant or a Catholic. That's where we differ. I don't believe you have to make the choice. I believe in taking hold of one and not letting go of the other. For goodness sake, if Martin Luther is right, he's right. If you find out that, I mean, a lot of people who quote today, they were Catholics. St. Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi, they actually were Catholics. I have the Confessions of Augustine in my house. I go through the book. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he's right on one thing, he's right. Are you getting, that's why, you see, don't mind me. Any sect of Christianity that says they are the only one, I will never agree with them. You can't be the only one. You're not a human being. You cannot be the only one. There are Pentecostals who go around. Don't be angry with me. Let me not mention it. There are 2-3 prominent Pentecostal church denominations that believe that we are the only ones. Anytime I see them, I laugh at them. And I feel like you will soon get tired. You will soon find out that you are not the only one. You will soon find out. God is kind. He will be kind to you. It's only if you are a wicked soul that he will leave you in this deception. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? That's the problem we have. So I told my wife, I said, this is my problem with this man. He just believes that you have to be one or the other. Once when I came to Enugu, then I just started this Kingdom World Ministry work. And then I took these tracts. These are our tracts. And that's what I used to do then. I go around places in town and give to them to share to their people. Like I go usually to one of the places I go to, Christian bookshops. I just give them a stack of them. Anybody buys a book, give him one. Free of charge. So a man saw me then, and he was impressed that, oh, you're a preacher. I said, yes. We discussed a bit. He said, which church do I attend? I said, look, I'm new in town. I don't have a church I attend yet. Ah, he was like, oh, so. I said, I was new in town. I just arrived in town. You know, just a few months before. So just I used to visit a number of churches, you know, go to Winners. The World House then was founded by one of my friends from university. So I used to attend just to pay him visits, then go to the chapel of Redemption or Restoration, the one in UNTH, not UNEC. Then you just go around. So, but then I wasn't settled anywhere. So I just told him that, look, I'm new in town. So anyway, gist got to gist, all right? So I told him that, he said, why don't I have a church I belong to? I said, listen, my friend, I came from a church in Lagos. They don't have a branch in Enugu. That's number one. And even if they did, I'm not guaranteeing you I'll go there. So he looked at me, he shows I don't know what I believe. I said, you are the one that has the problem. You need the security of a denominational name. I don't. I know what I believe. That's why I can be like this. I said, when I was in Adoekiti, where I did my house job, I attended a church that had only one branch. I had 3 branches, all within the same town. I left there. Did I have to carry the dust inside the church, inside my socks to where I'm going? No, I left. And then I waved them, bye-bye. I went for NYSC. Do you get my point? Then I located one church till today. I don't know the name. Yes, really. Okay, yeah. Okay, now remember, it was a protest, you know what I mean, like Anglican Methodist, I don't know which one. But they used to have a fellowship, which I went to in the evenings in common of my friend that I used to call pastor. That was in Taraba State. Then I left. And I got to Lagos. Are you getting my point? By the time I left Lagos, I was attending Covenant Christian Center, and I came to Enugu, and Pastor Kwaju does not believe in branching, and has no branch. He has 2 branches that hold 5 services, all within Lagos. What will I do? There are people who, I know a denomination in Nigeria of today. They teach their members on campuses that when they go home, they should not go to church. How evil can we be as Christians? What I'm telling you is not a joke. The church teaches its members that are students, because a student will go home on holiday, naturally, that when they go home, they should not go to church because they are so special. They will stay alone. Irresponsible set of people that they are. I know them. Pride is a horrible thing. Pride is horrible. Why can't you, as a Christian, when you go home, locate where believers are gathered? If you are so good, go and teach them. You okay? Hold on, say. So I told the man that they say, forget me. I know what I believe. That is why I'm not afraid. That is why I'm not afraid. There's only one body of Christ on the earth. Only one. If God relocates me from here to Jamaica tomorrow, do you know the church I will attend in Jamaica? The churches that God is moving in Jamaica, they are not in Nigeria. They are not on TV and they don't have the money to pay for TV time. So you will never know. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hold on to one and don't let go of the other. So I told my wife, that is the problem with this man. He doesn't realize that he doesn't have to make a choice. As in, I'm either here or I am there. No. Truth is truth. If you know it, you know it. As I feel very comfortable anywhere I go, if you say things I don't like, I'll tell you simply, this one you are saying, is not correct. And there are things nobody knows everything. There are things I don't know till today. Are you getting my point? Miles Murray is one of the greatest teachers in the world today. You don't go to his church. You don't. I have never been to his church. The only time he and I saw was the time he came to Enugu. I mean, we didn't see like he saw me, I saw him. I only saw him. He saw 100, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people. He didn't know who this black guy amongst them is. But that's the only time I saw him. But the first time I heard the name Miles Monroe, I went to speak up with a friend of mine. We're going to visit somebody. So I got out there. Oh, yeah, boy, come now. Let's go now. So he told somebody to tell me to come in. Told his sister to go and tell me to come inside. I said, Femu, I am not coming inside. We have an agreement. We are leaving here by 4 so that we can get there by 4:30 or 5 and come back on time before it's dark. I had gone to borrow a car. You understand my point? So now let us go. So the sister went back in and told him that he said he's not coming in. So he came in. He came out to meet me in the car I was seated in wearing a singlet, a pair of slippers, obviously not ready to go anywhere. So imagine how angry I was. That, Femo, what are you doing? You were supposed to be waiting for me. He said, come inside, come and hear something. Once he said, come and hear something, I said, okay, I'm coming. So I wound up, entered, sat down, and did not want to go again. Because Miles Monroe was dishing out word, dishing the thing, I said, oh, my God. I sat down. He said, let us go. I'm coming, let him finish. After that, I went to rush every Miles Monroe I could get. I mean, I had to hear it. Anyway, so that's how I got my Miles Monroe tape. So, motivating men to take their place in life. Nobody knows me. How can I remember? Oh, many of them. I can't remember all of them now. In fact, the collection was called The Best of Miles Monroe. My God. I listened and listened and listened. But this is why I'm telling the story. I don't even know the name of the church he pastors. I've never been to his church. If he comes to Enugu today and starts a church, I probably won't attend. Are you getting my point? I probably won't attend. If somebody comes to me now and says, WF Kumu, you preach this tape, my God, it's hot. I will collect it. I will not go to the church. I'm not fighting anybody. I just am not going. But that's what the man is saying. That I will not get my portion. No. Because one day you get to heaven. And God will say, why is your head bent to this side like this? Say, Lord, I wasn't sure how to straighten it. He said, but I told WF Kumi to teach you the straightening of the head. I said, I didn't used to go to his church. He said, so? Did I say you should go to his church? I said, just listen to him. Hey, are you following what I'm making? Take hold of one and don't let go of the other. That's how come people from all kinds of denominations have blessed me thoroughly. If you speak in tongues, I listen to you. If you don't speak in tongues, I still listen to you. If you don't believe, look, some people don't believe in some things that you think are fundamental to Christianity, but those things are not fundamental. One day, one of my cousin told me that in their school, there's one man that his name is circulating amongst Christians that he preaches heresy. Why? He said that. I asked him, I said, why? He said, the man does not believe in tithing. Can you label a man a heretic? Because he doesn't believe in what Paul never taught, Peter never taught, James never taught, John never taught. I'm not saying those James, John, means that the man is wrong, that you are wrong, but he definitely cannot be a heretic.
I said, look, they should bring all of you and flog you one by one. I mean, I have friends that me and them we differ quite significantly on the matter of tithing. But faith matters. We always discuss it. Ah, Pastor Banky, we have to see. We'll sit down, we talk, we teach each other, we correct one another, encourage one another. But in this area, I said, this is what I think. He said, this is what he thinks. I said, no, I don't think your reasoning here is correct. He said, no, I don't think the way I look at it is correct. And then we disagree and leave it there. Party. Balance. Ed Cole said, is what? The key to life. Christians must learn to be balanced. I said something last time. Let me just say it again. Just to summarize what I've said so far. And that's the fact that the only way you can be balanced is to have an open mind. All right? And listen a lot and read a lot. And don't be a child. You have to grow up. You have to grow up. You don't have to follow every fad that comes into Christianity. Listen, there are times I will take, let me just not mention names. I will take time out to go and sit down under somebody. There was one man, I don't want to mention names now. I went once. For days I was there, he was teaching and teaching. Then the particular section he taught, everything he said, I noted them because I did not agree with any one of them. Then I came back to work. All right, I met my friend, the one that said gave me to the first Miles Morote I ever saw in my life. All right, and I called him. I said, "Femo, sit down." My daddy, he used to come to my office. He's a surgeon. All right, I'm a pathologist, so he would come to my office in the evening, just relax. So I was waiting for him. Daddy, boy, when are you coming? He's coming. Oh yeah, sit down. We have to talk. He said, "What's up?" I told him I went for this particular seminar, minister seminar. You know, he said yes. He said this last day, this man began to preach this, and this. I'm sorry, I don't agree with these things, and these are my reasons. And I will explain it. He said, yes. I will give him my reason. He said, I think you're correct. At the end of the day, he and I discussed, and he shared his opinion, which I agreed with. So between him and I, we disagreed with a big man. You know the interesting part? The next seminar, I went. There's nobody that's right on everything. There's nobody, including me, of course. If there's nobody, that means I'm one of them. But the point is that you can disagree with somebody, all right, on one thing, and still learn other things from the person. You'll be shocked later to find out that you were wrong. It's possible. There are things I disagree with people on years ago. Now I realize that they were right, and I was wrong. It's just that I had not yet reached the level that I could understand the things that they were saying. There are jobless people in America. They call them heresy hunters. Yes, there are people like that. A lot of them are in theology schools. I call them jobless because I can't see that your job is hunting heresies. I've stumbled on some of their writings. And what they call heresy, to me, it shows that they have no understanding. You can't just sit down and be judging what you don't understand. I've seen people criticize things that they have no idea about. As much as possible, if you don't understand something, shut your mouth. Please, you follow the point and explain. Alright, so that's the issue. That's how to strike a balance. Alright, I was not supposed to preach this length. I was just supposed to review for 5 minutes. The main thing I want to discuss today is what I call them, at the beginning last time actually, alright? The matter of zeal. And the balance of zeal, yes, I think either the balance to zeal or balance of zeal. That's what I want to discuss today, how to balance the matter of zeal. Again, let's read the scripture we read last time, Proverbs chapter 19. Just one verse there, verse 2. There are different ways this particular verse is rendered in different Bibles, but all saying about the same thing. New American Standard is what I'm using. It said, also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who makes haste with his feet errs. That is, goes into error. Some other translations will use expressions like this. Zeal without knowledge is not good. And he that makes haste with his feet, all right, runs into error. The point here is this. The issue is that zeal is what is being discussed. And it says simply that when a man is zealous and is not balanced by knowledge, he tends to make mistakes. Now, let me quickly say this before I go on. Zeal is something we must all have. Amen? Anything you don't have zeal for, you are not really convinced about, you don't really love. Like I say, if you have never done anything crazy in faith, even if it is wrong and stupid, it's likely you don't have any faith at all and you are not committed to faith.
Now, no, really, I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. If I say this jokingly, that when David tackled the first lion or the first bear, it was not actually out of knowledge. It was out of zeal. Probably would not have done the same thing if he was older. Now, you say, are you saying old men won't tackle lions? No. As an older man, he will have learned the skill. He will not have rushed at the lion. He will have known how to corner the lion. He won't go and take a lion, collect the sheep from the mouth. He will have killed an older man will kill the lion first before he touches the sheep. Because it's risky to go and be collecting the sheep when the lion is still alive and well. What David did as a small boy, old men don't do it. But if David never did it as a small boy, you know he never had the kind of dedication necessary to be a king. You know that. So we may sit down and say that David should not have done this. But it's a reflection, is that okay, of what really was inside his heart. T.D. James said there was a time he crossed the road with his eyes closed just to tell the Lord he loved him. Do you get my point? You won't cross the road, close your eyes. Say, my God in heaven will take care of me. An older man doing that is called tempting the Lord thy God. God will send a car to go and teach him a lesson. What am I going to explain? Listen, we've done crazy things when we're faith people on campus. So by faith, you can live without drinking. All right, so when, instead of telling your father your money has finished, you won't tell him because you're walking by faith. We have grown now to realize that was walking by foolishness. And we survive not by faith, but by the mercy of God. But this is the point. If he did not do those things, it had to be because you had understanding. Most people who don't do them is because they lack the zeal entirely. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not because they had understanding. All right? As one grows, all right, as I grew, there are things I dropped behind, I stopped doing. Not because I lost the zeal, but because now I have understanding. But the zeal, all right, is not present in a lot of people, so they don't do certain things. Let's take money as an example. The way I teach about money, all right? Okay, I'll get to it. Actually, next week, I'm going to talk about financial balance, all right? We're talking about balance, the key to life, all right? So, next week, I'm going to start talking about the balance in finances, all right? Because the reason is because in churches these days, all right, it's plenty. The matter of money is a serious matter. And they have a saying in Western Nigeria that as long as the lice does not finish on the head, blood will not finish on the nails. That is, you keep on killing them. And killing them, you know, you understand my point. A friend of mine called me the other day. He said, Pastor, please, I need your advice. I said, what? He said, in their church, this particular month, they are supposed to bring their whole salary after removing the tithe. Then you put the tithe in the church, then the whole salary, you bring it also. I said, wait, did they not collect the whole thing in January in first fruit? He said, they did. October, I want to collect it again. Now, you've been raking 10% off everything they are earning between February and as a waiting. Pastor, this is wickedness. Oh. I asked him, I said, did Pastor say God spoke to him? If the answer is yes, then be it unto you according to your faith. If you believe him, God bless you. I said, but be careful that you don't, I'll teach this one next week. Let me not get ahead of myself. Be careful you don't obey the word sent to wicked people. You say, what do I mean? There are those that one cobble of theirs will never drop, either into offering basket or into a helpless person's hand. So God will send a word. Say, collect all that he has if he wants to see the kingdom of God. But you that have been consistently doing the will of God, maybe it's not for you. I say, however, be it unto you according to your faith. That was where I rested it. Now, you know something I said just now, all right? Talking about the mother of zeal. If you have never, in the area of money, right? If you have never done something crazy, in quote, for the Lord, before you met people like me, you probably never loved him financially. If you don't do it, it must be out of understanding. There are people that the reason why they don't respond to words like I gave you just now that somebody was told is simply because they are so, nothing they drop, you know what I'm saying? They are so gumphosus into the pocket that, I mean, they don't gum everything down. People like me to say, I get that judge, I tell Pastor, come. We thank God tell you this. It's just saying that God tell you. And I'll be saying it not, I'm not angry. I just want to be sure that, I thank God, I say, are you sure it's not a word for wicked souls? Because if I give you everything,
What my mother eats this month? I have four children. What are they going to work?